I'd like you to turn in your Bibles this afternoon into the book of Ephesians and again to chapter 5. Sitting listening to our brother and enjoying the word as it's ministered, as I usually have to follow somebody somewhere along the line, I look for something to tie on to see if the Lord really wants me to continue in the path that I thought He wanted me to go. And so I was pleased to hear our brother come out in the end again with the thought of submission. And that's what I'd like to talk about this afternoon. I'd like to talk about the woman's role. Yesterday we talked about the man's role and God's command to love your husband. And perhaps, hubby, if you weren't here yesterday and you sit and rub your hands today as listening to some words to your wife, I want you to again let that command burn down in your own heart. Before you sit there and this afternoon say, oh boy, give it to her, I want you to have those words burned into your heart. Husbands, love your wives. And he says in Colossians, be not bitter against them. Would you take that and let God burn it into your heart? Through a spirit that indelibly it might be written there, so that we remember it all our days. I'm truly thankful I had a dear brother speak at my wedding who knew and loved God very much. He's in heaven today. And many of you knew him. He was an Iowan. His name was Theo McCulley. And when I got married, Theo spoke at my wedding. And those were the words he spoke. Husband, love your wife. I don't know how many guys remember what was spoken at their wedding, but somehow God impressed me with that. That was His command, His desire for me, and He never wanted me to let it go. Now, I had some interesting comments. Somebody went up to my wife yesterday and said, does he practice what he preaches? Well, I'm kind of glad she was here. We had several different comments, and I'm glad you come with them. I told somebody, well, I am by far not the perfect man. He's in heaven, but I do endeavor to obey this command of God. Now, ladies, I suppose I've listened to you be abused by many a preacher and everybody else since I've been so high, because some of the scriptures that we're going to read today. But rather than to fight against words of a man, I'm going to ask you to let God speak to your own heart. As our brother said, take these as the words of God and do not bring judgment against them. They're the words of an eternal God, a God who is all-knowing, who is perfect in wisdom. And in that wisdom, He gave us His scripture. If you want a home, it's going to be a joyous one, and one to the glory of God, and one to your own good, then wife, practice this scripture. Listen to what he says, and I'm going to go back a couple verses earlier, because I think there's something here that we need to be impressed with, both husband and wife. Verse 18, he says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. I think before we can look at the specific message to the wife, we have to consider what God's desire was beforehand. And God's desire for every one of us was that we would be filled with the Spirit. Now, it says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. You know, when you come to wine, the more wine you take, the more the wine controls. When you begin to drink, a little sip of it might not do much, except give you a taste for more. And then as you follow that taste and you go along with it, the more you take of it, the more you put inside you, the more you allow to enter that vessel, the more it begins to control. It's a simple analogy, and he says, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It is God's desire that every one of us would empty this vessel of self and all the stones. We need to be like Isaac as he went back to the wells that his father had dug and empty them out to take out the stones to allow the water to come and to fill the well. Without it, the vessel isn't going to be filled, and God wants the vessel filled. Now, if you want to examine this afternoon whether or not you stand in the position of being a vessel filled with the Spirit, then God has given us here a guideline. Is this thing too loud? It sounds like it's bouncing back in my ears, and I got a loud voice anyhow. Is it pretty loud for you? Merlin, are you here? Could you crank it down just a little bit? God wants us to see. And so he's given us a guideline here, how every one of us can take up the Scriptures and use it as a judgment of whether or not what he says, according to what he says, we are Spirit-filled individuals. You know, when it comes to, first of all, we have a communication with him, and our brother Carl was bringing that before us today. There ought to be in the Spirit-filled man a man with a psalm, with a hymn, and with a spiritual song. That psalm, that hymn, that spiritual song in his heart, and he's singing, and he's making melody in his heart to the Lord. Do you have that song? You know, some of us don't radiate too much in our faces the song, but God wants us to have one within. And I think it affects us without. But we need to have that song within. How are you singing? I was impressed mostly in my lifetime with my own dear mother. You know, she was struck down with Parkinson's disease. And she laid on a bed of affliction for 3.5 years where she could not move her body at all. She was paralyzed mostly from here on down. And they had a little bar up above her that she could pick up her hands and move her hands. She couldn't roll herself over. She couldn't cross or uncross her legs. She laid there for 3.5 years. And one day I flew out to Oregon. She was in a nursing home in Portland. And I flew out there to visit my mother. And as I visited with her, I walked in the room that day. And the lady who shared the room with her began to visit with me. And she said, you know, son, your mother knows so many hymns, she breaks out in the night singing. And right then my heart lifted to God as I looked on her and I said, oh, Lord, is there that kind of song in this heart of mine? Oh, I'm glad he's the one who gives a song in the night to those who lay there who can't move. But to you and I who have our facilities and our ability to go, Carl's been bringing to us that adoration, that time to be with him, to just bring a praise to God as the heart is filled to overflowing in worship, and then to give it to God. That's something that God enjoys. That's God's portion. That's the blessing of God's heart. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Praise God. He wants you and I to have that song within, and then to allow it to come out. You know, it's the way we're going to speak to ourselves and with one another. I had a brother I worked with back at Lake Geneva, and one time we were digging out a basement. I was at the youth camp there. I spent 7 years as a ministry director in that camp. And we had a little chapel in town. And when I moved there, the chapel was sitting on the ground. There was no basement. It was an old Methodist church, and it had been built in the early 1900s. And it wasn't sitting too straight or anything else. So we got the brainstorm of picking that thing up, Paul and myself, and getting a guy with a tractor and coming having him dig the thing out. And then we poured the basement under it, and we had a dear old brother who was there in the meeting. His name was Dan Dunnett. And Paul and I had been there early one morning and late one night. And in the evening time, God had given us a song, and both of us were working along singing. And he went and told somebody else. He said, "I'm amazed at the joy that God has given those two men as they work there together with the Lord. You know, that brother brought a joy to my heart," both Dan and Paul, but I'm speaking of Paul. "As we worked along, we could enjoy one another and enjoy the Lord." Paul's still going on. He's working for Literature Crusades. He's a man that ministers to the Lord with his hands, doing a work of maintenance. You know, no matter what we do, whether it's here, or whether it's at the kitchen sink, or whether it's changing the kids' diapers, or whether it's flying an airplane, or whether it's directing a company, or running a machine, there can be a song in the heart. Those days when you're out there on that tractor driving all day long, I say to you farmers, have you got time as you drive that thing hour after hour to have a song in the heart? And are you singing to God? What a difference it makes. First mark of a Spirit-filled man, one who indeed got a song in his heart. The second mark of the Spirit-filled person is a person who's giving thanks unto God. How often? He said, giving thanks always. That's for every lump. That's for the lost job, for what we consider the accident, for everything that's negative as well as the positive. Always. Why would God say that? Oh, a spiritual man takes it all in faith, doesn't he? The spiritual man says, nothing happens to me by accident. The spiritual man said, God permitted it. The spiritual man says, God's got a purpose in it. The spiritual man says, thank you, Lord. There's another one of Carl's points. Didn't mean to do this, Uncle Carl. But you can see what God is saying. He wants us to be in that condition where we're willing to say, Lord, in that spirit of meekness, thy will be done. Are you spiritual? Got a song? You giving thanks? The third point, that's the rub, isn't it? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. And you know why I brought this? Because, brethren, before you go looking and listening to what it says to your wife, want you to take it to your own heart. There's a submission, first of all, to God. And James says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Before he ever told us to resist Satan, he said, submit to God. What a fool we'd be to take up a warfare against Satan without a submission to God. We'd be fools. Submit to God. Draw nigh to him, James says. He'll draw nigh to you. Oh, bless your heart. You know, brothers, in our business meeting, when our opinions don't always agree, God doesn't want us to be disagreeable because we disagree. And you know, there's sometimes God wants us to submit. Are you the only one that stands in this particular viewpoint? Then you better back off and take a look. Is this really the mind of God? Sometimes when we stand alone, we think we're standing for God. Well, the Spirit of God's in the church. And if we've got a group of brethren who represent that local church, and I'm the only one against it, I better stop and consider. Do I have the mind of God? Now, can you see God wants us to submit? Peter says, ye younger, submit to the elder. There's a submission that he's got, and he wants us to take the place. And so now when he says, wives, submit yourselves to your husband. What submission? I'd like to suggest to you that I think that submission is an intelligent understanding of a humbling, putting myself under a divine authority. And here, that divine authority, the husband. In the church, the divine authority, Christ. To the younger, the divine authority, the elder. Have you got it? There's a place for every one of us in the path of submission that he would have. And so now his desire is, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband. You know why God wanted you to submit, wife? He wanted you to submit for your protection. Now he gives us three times in Scripture that he gives us an order of submission and why he does it. In Genesis 3:16, he tells the wife there that thy desire shall be unto thy husband, and he shall have the rule over thee. So number one, wife, you will submit because that's what God said. He said your husband is going to be the one over you, and your desire is going to be toward him. Number two, wife, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, as our brother reminded of us yesterday, and they reminded us of the order of the headship of God, that man had a head, and that was Christ. And the woman has a head, and that's man. And that Christ has a head, and that's God. That was God's order. And when we look at God's line of authority, there it is, God, Christ, man, woman. The second reason, again, is because it's the order of God's headship. He did not make you, ladies, a lesser being than a man. Women are striving for equality today. But God has given you a place that doesn't make you less of a person. You still have the personality that he gave you. He simply says, obey my word and submit to the divine authority. That's God's word. Now, he said, if you want to be blessed, that's what you're going to have to do. We preach the gospel, don't we? And we strongly stamp that word down, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We should do it too. Okay, I'm going to take the same thing. Same word, same authority, God himself. Why? Submit to your own husband. Same word, same authority. Husbands, love your wife. Now the third scripture would probably be 1 Timothy chapter 2. And there we have the woman and the silence in the church and the order and the reason being given that man was created first and then woman, and that man was not in the transgression, but the woman first. Adam did by transgression. Eve was deceived. But Adam fell by outright transgression. But the woman was the first. So now God has given it. He has stated it in the book of Genesis chapter 3. He has given us the order of the headship in 1 Corinthians 11. And then he's given us the reason for that in 1 Timothy chapter 2. So there you have it. But now, I want to look, hubby and wife, for a moment. Maybe you're sitting your husband and you're bucking a little today and saying, boy, my wife's not very submissive. And I'm going to say to you, how much do you really love her? And if you showed your love to her, that you fulfilled God's command to love her, I guarantee you that if you can find a woman whose husband loves like that, you'll find a woman who's in submission. And if there's a husband who's griping that his woman isn't in submission, then I say, first of all, husband, take a look within. Do you love her like we looked at yesterday? And now, wife, in the realm that God has given to you, oh, I don't think it's so hard for a wife to respond to that love. You know why? Here's why I think God commanded a woman, but he didn't command a man. I mean, he commanded the man, but didn't command the woman. He commanded the man to love, but I don't read anywhere in Scripture that he commanded the woman to love. There's one place, Titus chapter 2, verse 3. He said the older women to teach the younger women to love their husbands. Oh, they need to be taught sometime. Because when a young woman gets married and she comes to that place, maybe she's never been in that place of submission. Maybe she's bucked against mom and dad. And all her young life as she grew up, she was kind of a rebel in her heart. And now for God, for her own protection, says older women, teach. Oh, our brother was reminding us of the need of the pastor's heart today and the elders of the men to be pastors. Oh, we need some women, older godly women, whose lives have been an example, who have submitted, and now wives. Older women, elder women, if you want it, same word. Older in maturity, who can go to a younger woman and say, sister, I see you're having a bit of trouble with submitting. Would you let me sit down and tell you the experience I went through in my own life and show you what God has to say and how He taught me? Oh, godly woman, would you have a little empathy and sympathy towards some of these younger women who today, whose culture says, throw it all overboard. But God says, don't you do it. Your safety is in an obedience to the Word of God. Now, here's the reason, I believe, that He had to command a man to love. A man's a mechanical being. We see with our eye, and what our eye sees, that's what touches us the most. Isn't that right, men? That's the reason where our eyes can be brought off so easy to sin. That's the reason the devil can get inside through the eye gate. Because we're touched so easy. Our mind is there and we're kind of mechanical. We think things and put them all in an order and plow along. When a woman's an emotional being, and I'm glad for that, boy, I think my marriage would have been a mess if it wouldn't have been for the emotions of my wife. They're a good balance, you see. We need them both. And now, a woman can love naturally. You don't believe it, Dad. Let your wife leave you home a couple days with that little one-year-old kid, or a little bit younger, and you'll see how strained and how tight you get up inside, and where are you going to get the emotions to love this when the kid is screaming his head off and you don't know what to do? But there was something in mother that could pick that child up. And that child feels the vibrations of those emotions in mother and can come to peace. That's one reason I believe so many nursing mothers have quiet children, because they're able to take them and hold them on their breast and the child gets a quiet chance to be with mother. And when you got a mom that's uptight, sometimes the child picks up those vibrations too. But you see, a woman has emotions and she can love naturally. She can respond naturally. And so God says, husbands, love. But He says, wives, submit. Now, wives, in your emotions and being an emotional person, God put an authority in your home to help you. And you know what He ought to be? He ought to be a buffer zone for you. And if you refuse to submit, then you've lost that. Let me show you what I mean. Today's the day when we got a two-paycheck home. We got mama working, we got papa working. We got the kids with a babysitter or the boob tube, same difference. And so now with the two paychecks, a lot of times it's my money and your money. And even if it isn't, there's a problem in the home because it's my job and your job. And something has become between the cleaving that I spoke about yesterday, being glued together with nothing in between. Something's come between the one flesh, and it begins to separate. And now when a woman goes out to work, she takes all the pressures of a job. She takes the pressures of the job and the people that work around her and all the culture and everything else. She takes all the pressures of it. And when a woman decides to go out and work and leave the order of the home, she's taken that upon herself. God in His Word says He would that the women would be keepers at home, and that means workers at home, and that they would raise their children, love their husbands, and love their children. That's what He says. Now, please don't go away and say, Ray Rotley said every woman that's working is in sin. Did you hear me say that? No, you didn't. There may be a time come when the home is put to such pressure because of bills or a husband sick or something else that there would be a forced situation. I wouldn't sit in on judgment on anything like that. But, beloved, if you're a wife and you're working today, I'm going to say, why are you working? Is it a matter to keep up with the Joneses? Is it a matter to get another Davenport, a better chair, to change the carpeting, to do all the things in the house that, as I said yesterday, are a reflection of you? Or do you work out of necessity? When you go out there, you're taking the pressures upon yourself. God gave that to the man. You know, it's a good thing when a woman's raised in the home and little Johnny's down the street, and he gets in some fight with some kid down the street, and boy, they've really tangled it, and Johnny was a little bigger, and he got the better hand, and bingo, there was a black eye or something. Johnny was quick on the gun, and he comes home, and boy, oh boy, that neighbor comes down the street. Look at your kid did to my kid. He beat him up. And Mama answers the door, and she got a problem on her hand, and if she knows who's the head of the house, she can so simply say, I'll tell my husband when he gets home, and he'll take care of the situation. You see, the husband can deal with the neighbor, and you can deal with Johnny. It's a difficult thing, wife, when you start dealing with the neighbor, and you forget about dealing with Johnny. And you know what? That's the way that most of it's gone today. There was a day when they said the woman was ruling the nest. They don't say that anymore. The children rule it today. The kids are telling mom and dad what to do when they come home from work and they don't know what's going on during the daytime. And that's what's directing the path, and that's what's giving the order in the home. You know, God has given it for your protection. I want to show you how strongly the Word of God emphasizes that. Ephesians chapter 5 here, and as we read verse 23, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He's the Savior of the body. There's the analogy here given. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ was the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Let's take a look at what that says. Christ was the head of the church, and He's the Savior of the body. Now he said, there's a little example. The husband is the head of the wife. Oh, the word Savior. What's it mean? Is he the Savior of the wife? You know what that word Savior means? Mr. Vine says, it means deliverer. It means provider. It means defender. Oh boy. How about that one, wife? How you like that? Only the Word of God emphasizes that. Ephesians chapter 5 here, and as we read verse 23, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He's the Savior of the body. There's the analogy here given. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ was the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Let's take a look at what that says. Christ was the head of the church, and He's the Savior of the body. Now he said, there's a little example. The husband is the head of the wife. Oh, the word Savior. What's it mean? Is he the Savior of the wife? You know what that word Savior means? Mr. Vine says, it means deliverer. It means provider. It means defender. Oh, boy. How about that one, wife? How you like that?
You want some protection? It's in submission. You want a defender? It's in submission. Do you want a provider? It's in submission. Christ was the head of the church. He was the Savior of the body. The head, the husband is the head of the wife, even as. Oh, bless your heart, ladies. Don't you see what a glorious place God gave you? Oh, what a glorious place He gave you. Totally protected. I'll go back to the picture in the beginning, okay? When God made man. You know what He didn't do? He didn't take a bone from Adam's foot to make the woman a slave that Adam walked on her. You got that, hubby? Neither did He take her from a bone from Adam's head to make His wife His director and His mind. But He took a rib from Adam's side, under his arm and near his heart, where she might be protected and she might be loved. Christ, the Savior of the body, deliverer, defender, provider. What? Will you submit to God? It says, submit to the husband as unto the Lord. So the first submission is in the spiritual sense back in verse 21. Have you got that, wife? You'll have to go back to verse 21. Are you a spiritual being? Oh, then there's a submission to God and to one another. And then as you take it up in your marriage, bless your heart, there's the submission to your husband. But that's as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. Let me push the point of head of the church and headship again. So many times the wives feel themselves incomplete. But I want to show you something. Let's go to the book of Colossians chapter 1. First to see who Christ is, okay? Colossians chapter 1 verse 18. Verse 17 says He's before all things, and by Him all things consist. Verse 18 said, He is the head of the body, the church, who's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all the fullness dwell. So now, as I look at the head of the church, I've got one who has all the fullness. He's the head of the church, and He's the fullness of it, all in all. Have you got that point? Christ, the head of the church, and He's the fullness of it, all in all. Now go over to the next chapter, okay? Chapter 2 and verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Oh, beware lest any man turn you into an Athenian. Don't let him spoil you with all those things our brother was talking about. He said, don't let him spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. After the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Listen. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And now grab this. Ye are complete in Him. So I want you to get the picture again. Remember, Christ was the head of the church and the Savior of the body. So here now, as the head of the church, He's the fullness of the church. He's the completeness of the church. And the church is complete in Him, even to the individual. The church is made up of individuals. Do you grab what I'm saying? I'm saying, individual believer, as a part of the church, you have your fullness in Christ. Because He's the head of it and the fullness of it. Now I want to take that same example to the home. Because it was husband as the head, even as. And so now if Christ is the head of the church, and He was the fullness of it, as the Savior, and ye become complete in Him, I'll drive this home, wife, you are incomplete without your husband. And the moment your heart turns in rebellion, and you go your own way, and you've said no to Him, and no to God, you're incomplete. and you stand alone in the battle, you will take a... God said there in Genesis 2:24, they two shall be one flesh. One spirit, one soul, one body, a total unity of soul, spirit, and body. Or I'd like it better, spirit, soul, and body. My wife worships with me. She feels and she weeps with me. And she joys with me. And we're joined together in a marriage, total, complete, physical as well. God given.
And wife, when you only begin to desire the physical and you begin to shut out that which is your spiritual, your emotional, and your intellectual needs that your husband can help to fill, you've denied God the right to work in your own life. You have denied God. You have not only put your home in a turmoil, but you've denied God His right to work. Oh, I wish I could draw your heart, beloved, to grasp those words. I see so many homes going down the drain today, and it breaks my heart to see homes that were once established and held the name of God as preeminent, and the name of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Savior of sinners and the head of the house. And then through the years see a wandering away, until finally there's a rending of the cleaving of the one flesh, and both are left incomplete. Now take it a step farther. What you are at home, beloved, you bring to the assembly. What you are at home in Atlantic, you bring to the Atlantic Chapel. And what you are at home in Davenport, you bring to the Harrison Street Gospel Chapel, where the Christians meet to the name of the Lord Jesus. And what you are at home in whatever city you live in, you bring that to the local fellowship of the believers. And wife, when you won't submit at home, you've refused God. And I do not see how you can submit in the assembly. Our brethren have both reminded us of the head covering. And bless your heart, so many have said, just like our brother Van Ryn reminded us. And I thought of those words, I heard it so many times. It is such a little thing. Why put such an emphasis on it? Is it little? Is it little? Are there little things with God? Oh, I want to ask you, is that precious book filled with just little things left for you and me to take what we want, to judge it in our light and our foolishness? Or is it there for us to take it? God said it, let it be so. You see, some people have said to me, listen, that woman could put a hat on her head this big and she wouldn't be in submission. I'm talking about something, first of all, to the heart, beloved, what you are at home. And then I'm talking about what you bring to the assembly. Because what you are when you come there is what you were there back home. What are you there at home, wife? Now I'm glad to say our assemblies are filled with godly women. And I am not cracking a whip. I praise God for the mothers in Israel that had a love toward me as I grew up. And showed that love in ways that help me to nurture and to grow. I thank God for them. The women are the lifeline of the church. It is life that's brought through them. And I've seen many assembly that would be totally dead if it wasn't for the life that was found in the women that had a heart for souls. and then a heart to pray. Huh? Wasn't too long ago I buried a dear sister back in January, February, sometime around there. And when I stood beside that coffin at that funeral, I mourned the loss of a lovely lady. A lady who suffered much, but in all her suffering, never forgot to put my name before the throne of grace every single day. And when I buried her, I said, "Oh God, I've lost a prayer warrior. Will there be another to take her place?" Oh, women, God has given you such a place to glorify His name, and that's in submission. That's a glory to God. You know, somebody once said, humility is God's elevator. You go down before you go up. But if you take that place God's given you, it's really not such a humbling. It becomes a place where you raise your own and your home to the glory of God. And what a glory it'll be, wife, when you stand before that judgment seat of Christ and you look out and you see your own standing there. And you'll be able to say, "You're my joy and my crown." He says in Proverbs 31, "Her husband shall praise her. Her works shall praise her. Her children shall call her blessed." Dear woman, can you see the place that's yours and that place of submission to the authority and to the will of God? Submitting yourself to your own husband. Bless your heart as you go away from this place. May God help you to take His word and just to say so simply, "God said it."